Coming up next on Passion Struck, imagine facing a crisis so intense that every second counts, a moment where decisions must be flawless, and every action could mean the difference between triumph and disaster. What would determine success or failure? Is it skill, luck, or something much deeper? In today's episode, we uncover the surprising force behind one of the most extraordinary moments in modern history and how you can harness it to transform the way you lead. Welcome to Passion Struck. Hi, I'm your host, John R. Miles, and on the show, we decipher the secrets, tips, and guidance of the world's most inspiring people and turn their wisdom into practical advice for you and those around you. Our mission is to help you unlock the power of intentionality so that you can become the best version of yourself. If you're new to the show, I offer advice and answer listener questions on Fridays. We have long-form interviews the rest of the week with guests ranging from astronauts to authors, CEOs, creators, innovators, scientists, military leaders, visionaries, and athletes. Now, let's go out there and become Passion Struck. Welcome back, everyone, to another Momentum Friday and episode 561 of Passion Struck. Whether you're a loyal listener or joining us for the first time, I am so glad you're here. This is the space where we challenge the status quo, explore intentional living, and uncover the keys to leading a life full of purpose, passion, and impact. Before we dive into today's episode, let's take a moment to reflect. On Tuesday, I was joined by Dr. Rick Hansen, who shared groundbreaking insights on how to hardwire happiness and resilience into our brains. His perspective on rewiring our mindset for greater well-being is one you don't want to miss. Then on Thursday, Dr. Adam Galinsky brought us a fascinating discussion about the dynamics of power, influence, and the art of speaking up. If you've ever struggled to find your voice or navigate tough conversations, his advice is truly transformational. And if you haven't listened yet to last week's solo episode, we explored how to unlock the extraordinary power of hope in shaping our lives and communities. That episode ties beautifully into the themes of today's discussion, so I highly recommend checking it out. For those of you new to the show, welcome to the Passion Struck family. With over 560 episodes, I know it can be overwhelming to decide where to start, but we've got you covered. Visit passionstruck.com/starterpacks or explore our curated playlists on Spotify, covering topics like alternative health, leadership, resilience, emotional health, and personal growth. These resources are designed to help you kickstart your journey of intentional living. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for my Live Intentionally newsletter. Each week, I share actionable strategies and thought-provoking insights to help you thrive in all areas of your life. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for highlights and exclusive content designed to inspire and empower you. Now, let's get into today's episode. The morning of January 15th, 2009 began like any other winter day in New York City, cold, brisk, and uneventful. It was the kind of day where you pull your coat tighter, keep your head down against the wind, and go about your routine without much thought. At LaGuardia Airport, 155 passengers and crew boarded U.S. Airways Flight 1549, settling into their seats as they prepared for a short flight to Charlotte. Some made small talk with seatmates, while others stared out the window, lost in their thoughts. But within minutes, their lives would be forever changed in ways no one could have ever anticipated. What followed in those 208 seconds is now the stuff of legend. After both engines failed, following a collision with a flock of geese, Captain Chesley Sully Sullenberger guided the powerless aircraft to a water landing on the Hudson River, saving every life on board. The press called it the Miracle on the Hudson, praising Sully's skill, calm under pressure, and quick thinking. Beyond the headlines, a deeper story emerges, one that goes beyond Sully's technical expertise. How did an entire team, pilot, co-pilot, flight attendants, and even passengers perform with such composure under unimaginable pressure? The answer lies in something larger, the culture of mattering that defined this moment. It was a belief shared across the plane, a deeply ingrained understanding that every action and decision carried significance. This culture wasn't born in those 208 seconds. It was built long before. Through the leadership Sully embodied, the trust he cultivated, and the empowerment he fostered within his team. it was a testament to the quiet power of mattering in leadership. When people feel valued, when they know their efforts make a difference, remarkable things happen. Flight 1549 is proof of this truth. 16 years later, the lessons of the Miracle on the Hudson remain as relevant as ever. They remind us how a culture of mattering can transform not only crisis situations, but also the way we lead, collaborate, and connect in our daily lives. In this episode, I'll explore how the power of mattering in leadership can save lives, strengthen teams, and create extraordinary outcomes, whether in the skies or in the everyday moments that matter most. Thank you for choosing Passionstruck and choosing me to be your host and guide on your journey to creating an intentional life. Now, let that journey begin. The Miracle on the Hudson wasn't just a survival story. It was a story about preparation. Long before the engines failed, before the plane glided silently over New York City, a foundation had been laid. Captain Sully Sullenberger wasn't just a pilot. He was a gardener, tending to a culture of trust, respect, and shared purpose, one interaction at a time. This wasn't the kind of culture you could measure with metrics or charts. It was built in small, almost invisible ways, like the way Sully treated his co-pilot as an equal, the way he spoke with calm authority to his crew, and the way he fostered an environment where every individual felt their role mattered. His leadership style wasn't flashy. It was intentional, like that of a gardener. Take Sully's relationship with his first officer, Jeffrey Skiles. Despite being their first flight together, their coordination was seamless. And this wasn't luck. Sully's leadership philosophy emphasized preparation and trust. Values reinforced in every training, every conversation, and every day on the job. That foundation ensured that when the crisis hit, Sully and Skiles didn't need to think about trust because it was already there. This culture extended beyond the cockpit. The flight attendants knew their roles weren't just about serving drinks or offering smiles. They were valued as critical members of the team. When Sully modeled respect and trust, it rippled outward, creating a workplace where everyone believed their contributions mattered. The Miracle on the Hudson wasn't built in 208 seconds. It was built over decades, and the real lesson lies in understanding how those deliberate, everyday actions laid the groundwork for an extraordinary outcome. So let's explore the hidden forces behind the Miracle on the Hudson. When the engines failed, Flight 1549 was transformed from an ordinary commuter flight into a test of human resilience and leadership. In those 208 seconds, a series of decisions and actions unfolded with astonishing precision. What made this possible were the hidden forces at play, the culture of mattering, trust, and shared purpose that had been cultivated over time. Picture this, the sound of birds hitting the engines, then the sharp silence as both engines failed, and the sinking realization in the cockpit. In that moment, Sully turned to Skiles, not with panic, but with purpose. He trusted Skiles to manage the emergency procedures while he focused entirely on the trajectory of the plane. That trust wasn't improvised. It was a muscle that they had both exercised through years of preparation and a shared understanding of their roles. In the cabin, the flight attendants moved swiftly. They weren't just following instructions. They were taking ownership. They calmed passengers, gave clear directions, and prepared for impact, all with a sense of authority that turned fear into focus. Their actions reflected a workplace where their roles were respected and their contributions valued. Even the passengers were part of this culture. They listened. They followed instructions. They helped one another don life vests and evacuate the plane in an orderly fashion. Panic could have derailed everything, but the collective sense of purpose kept chaos at bay. These hidden forces, trust, respect, shared purpose, were like the roots of a tree, invisible yet vital. They allowed the crew and passengers to function as one cohesive unit in the most terrifying of circumstances. The Miracle on the Hudson wasn't just about Scully's skill or the crew's training. It was about a culture that empowered ordinary people to achieve something extraordinary. So let's explore the anatomy of mattering. What does it take to build a culture where people rise to extraordinary challenges. How do leaders cultivate the trust, recognition, and shared purpose that transformed Flight 1549 into the Miracle on the Hudson? First, trust begins at the top. Sully didn't rely on control to lead. He relied on collaboration. His trust in First Officer Jeffrey Skiles was evident as he delegated critical tasks during the crisis. This wasn't a spur-of-the-moment decision. It reflected years of practice in creating an environment where roles were clearly defined and people were empowered to take ownership. Sully trusted his team to perform their best, even under unimaginable pressure, and that trust became the foundation of their success. Second, recognition fuels confidence. The flight attendants acted with calm precision, preparing passengers and maintaining order, not because they were told to, but because they believed their actions mattered. This belief didn't appear overnight. It was the result of a workplace culture where their contributions were valued day in and day out. When people know their work is seen and appreciated, they develop the confidence to step up, especially in high-stakes moments. And third, shared purpose unites teams. The passengers' composure wasn't simply a testament to their individual bravery. It was a reflection of a collective understanding. From Sully's calm voice in the cockpit to the flight attendant's clear instructions, every action reinforced a shared purpose: survival. This clarity of mission transformed a diverse group of strangers into a unified team, where even the smallest actions carried weight and meaning. The Miracle on the Hudson reminds us that extraordinary outcomes are never the result of chance. They are built on small, deliberate actions that foster trust, instill confidence, and align people around a common goal. These principles aren't limited to life or death situations. They are the foundation of any high-functioning team, whether in the cockpit, the boardroom, or the classroom. This leads to a vital question: how can we apply these lessons to our own lives and leadership? In the next section, we'll explore how leaders and teams can build their own culture of mattering, one intentional step at a time. The Miracle on the Hudson offers a roadmap for creating cultures where people thrive, not just in moments of crisis, but in the everyday challenges that define our lives. This approach to leadership is closely aligned with what I call Gardner leadership in my book Passion Struck. Like Captain Sullenberger, leaders who embrace this style focus on tending to their teams, cultivating trust, and empowering others to flourish. Gardner leadership operates on the philosophy of eyes on, hands off, staying deeply aware of the details while giving team members the freedom and trust to take ownership of their roles. It's not about controlling every element of your organization. It's about shaping the environment so that your team can succeed, even in high-pressure moments. Let's explore how leaders can adopt the principles of trust, recognition, and shared purpose within the framework of eyes-on, hands-off leadership. First, trust isn't given, it's built. When Sully trusted Jeffrey Skiles to handle the emergency checklist, it wasn't a leap of faith. It was a practiced habit. Sully understood that trust isn't built with words. It's built through consistent actions. Delegating responsibility isn't about relinquishing control. It's about empowering others to contribute their best. In Gardner leadership, trust is cultivated through small, deliberate acts of empowerment. It's the equivalent of planting seeds and trusting they'll grow. You prepare the soil, provide support, and step back to let the team take root. So how can you learn to build trust? The first step is to delegate with intention. Start small by assigning tasks that challenge team members to grow. Pair delegation with support, ensuring they feel empowered, but not abandoned. Second, foster transparency. Share the why behind decisions and goals. When people understand the reasoning, trust naturally follows. Third, create accountability. When someone takes ownership and succeeds, acknowledge their effort. If they fall short, work together to learn and improve. Try this. At your next meeting, delegate a high visibility task to someone who hasn't had the spotlight before. Frame it as an opportunity to stretch their skills and show your confidence in their abilities. And this leads us to the second element of the framework of eyes-on, hands-off leadership. Recognition fuels confidence. The flight attendants on Flight 1549 acted with calm authority because they knew their contributions mattered. Recognition wasn't an occasional pat on the back. It was a consistent reinforcement of their value. In Gardner leadership, recognition is the fertilizer that allows growth to happen. When leaders acknowledge contributions, no matter how small, they create an environment where individuals feel valued and confident in their abilities. So how can you learn to foster recognition? First, you need to be specific. Generic praise like saying good job is less impactful than calling out a specific achievement, such as your attention to detail on the client report clarified our next steps. Thank you. The next thing you have to do is to make it regular. Recognition shouldn't be a one-off. This is where rituals come in, like starting team meetings by highlighting contributions that normalize acknowledgement. And then lastly, encourage peer recognition. Cultivate a culture where colleagues celebrate each other's efforts. It reinforces the idea that recognition isn't just a leader's job. So consider trying this. At the end of the week, send a short, personalized message to each team member, highlighting one thing that they did well. Over time, these small actions add up to a culture of recognition. And the third element that I wanted to explore in the framework of Eyes On, Hands Off leadership is why shared purpose creates unity. On Flight 1549, shared purpose turned a group of strangers into a team. Passengers didn't just follow instructions, they acted with composure, helping one another because they understood they were part of something bigger. In Gardner leadership, purpose is the vision that ties every action to the broader mission. It's what inspires a gardener to keep tending, even through setbacks. Leaders who articulate a shared purpose create alignment, focus, and motivation within their teams. So here's how to cultivate shared purpose in your environment. First, connect roles to impact. Regularly articulate how individual tasks move the team closer to achieving its goals. And it's also important to tie those goals to the larger mission or strategy of the company. Second, tell the story. Share examples of how the team's work has made a difference, reinforcing the real-world impact of their efforts. And then lastly, involve the team. Invite team members to contribute ideas about how their roles can better align with the organization's mission. A way you can try this is at the start of a new project, spend 5 minutes discussing its purpose. Ask each team member to share how they see their role contributing to the larger mission. So now that I've explored the practical strategies for leaders to build a culture of mattering through the Eyes On, Hands Off leadership framework, let us take an in-depth look at how this essential culture can be continuously maintained. Because building a culture of mattering is only the beginning. Like any thriving garden, it requires ongoing care, adjusting for changing conditions, removing weeds that threaten growth, and ensuring the soil remains fertile for new ideas and opportunities. Captain Sully Sullenberger didn't just build trust with his team, he sustained it through consistent action. The recognition that empowered the flight attendants didn't emerge overnight, it was cultivated through deliberate practice. And the shared purpose that united everyone on Flight 1549 wasn't an accident. It was reinforced in every interaction before those engines failed. As leaders, we face the same challenge. Once a culture of mattering is established, how do we ensure it continues to grow? How do we adapt our leadership to meet new challenges while preserving the principles that make extraordinary outcomes possible? Let's examine these three key strategies. The first is staying vigilant without micromanaging. In Gardner leadership, the balance between eyes on and hands off is a constant dance. Leaders must remain aware of what's happening on the ground without stifling their teams with overbearing oversight. Sully exemplified this balance when he delegated the emergency checklist to his co-pilot. He didn't hover or second guess. He trusted the system that they had built together, knowing his focus was best directed elsewhere. So I want to explore how to stay vigilant. The first step is to develop a feedback loop. So a way to do this is a regular check-in with your team, not to dictate, but instead to listen. You can ask, what's working? What's getting in your way? Then the second thing you can do is something that I have used throughout my career, and that's to trust, then verify. Empower your team to take ownership while using data, observation, or touch points to ensure alignment with broader goals. And then lastly, adapt as needed. The reality is conditions change, so you need to be ready to shift focus or provide additional support when the situation calls for it. The second strategy we need to employ to ensure that the culture of mattering continues to grow is to maintain energy through recognition. Recognition is a powerful tool, but like anything, it can lose its impact if it becomes routine or shallow. To sustain its effect, recognition must evolve, becoming more meaningful and tied to the evolving challenges and successes of the team or organization. On Flight 1549, recognition wasn't limited to a job well done during the crisis. Sully's post-event acknowledgement of every crew member's role cemented their shared success and highlighted the importance of their contributions. Here are some ways to keep recognition fresh. The first step is to evolve the rituals. As your team grows or changes, it's important to adapt how you celebrate achievements. What worked for 5 people may not resonate with 20 or 50 or 100. The second step is to recognize growth. Celebrate progress, not just results. Acknowledge the effort that leads to learning, even if the outcome isn't perfect. And third, be public, but personal. Recognition should inspire the group, but also resonate deeply within the individual. Tailor your approach to each of their unique contributions. And then the last strategy that we can adopt to continue fostering a culture of mattering is to keep purpose relevant. Shared purpose is a dynamic force, but it can grow stale if left unchecked. Teams need reminders of why their work matters and how it connects to the organization's broader mission. Keep in mind that purpose isn't a destination, but a journey. The composure of the passengers on Flight 1549 reflected a collective understanding of purpose, in this case, survival. But beyond that, it highlighted how Sully's calm communication aligned everyone around a single mission. So here are some ways to reignite purpose. The first is to revisit the story. Share new examples of how your team's work is making an impact. Show them that their efforts matter in real and tangible ways. Second, involve the team in the vision. Ask for their input on how to evolve the mission. People are more engaged when they feel ownership over the purpose. And then lastly, connect the dots. Regularly tie daily tasks back to the larger goals, reinforcing the importance in the bigger picture. What I have learned throughout my entire 30-year career is that leadership is a seasonless practice. And the miracle on the Hudson reminds us that leadership doesn't stop when the crisis ends or when a culture of mattering is established. The work of sustaining trust, recognition, and purpose is never complete. It's a reoccurring practice requiring constant attention and adaptation. So as you reflect on your own leadership, ask yourself, am I staying aware of what's happening without stifling my team's growth? How can I keep recognition fresh and meaningful? And lastly, what am I doing to ensure that our shared purpose remains clear and relevant? Because the best gardens aren't just planted, they're nurtured for years to come. And the best leaders aren't just there for the extraordinary moments, they're there consistently in the ordinary ones. So I've discussed a lot today. I hope I've demonstrated throughout today's episode that the miracle on the Hudson isn't just a story of survival. It's a story of preparation, culture, and leadership. In society, we often marvel at the extraordinary moment, the plane gliding on the icy river, passengers standing on the wings, and Captain Sullenberger's steady voice guiding everyone to safety. But the core lesson lies beneath the surface. In the months following the incident, Sully reflected on how he managed to make such a flawless water landing. For 42 years, he said, I've been making small, regular deposits in this bank of experience, education, and training. And on January 15, the balance was sufficient so that I could make a very large withdrawal. His words capture something fundamental about leadership. The extraordinary isn't improvised. It's built on years of small, deliberate actions, each one reinforcing trust, recognition, and purpose. So here is the key lesson for leaders. Sully's response reminds us that leadership isn't about dramatic gestures or commanding moments. It's about tending to the day-to-day interactions that build a culture of mattering. It's about creating an environment where others feel valued, trusted, and empowered to excel, not just in crises, but in the quieter challenges of daily life. This idea is the essence of Gardner leadership, a concept rooted in eyes-on, hands-off leadership. Leaders who embody this style focus on cultivating the conditions for growth, planting the seeds of trust, watering the roots of recognition, and ensuring the light of purpose shines on every individual. But building this culture isn't enough. Like Sully, we must continuously invest in it, making small, intentional deposits that strengthen the bonds of our teams and communities over time. A culture of mattering doesn't happen by chance. It's built through small, deliberate actions. Trust grows when leaders empower others to take ownership. Recognition fuels confidence and motivates teams to perform at their best. And shared purpose transforms individual actions into collective success. These principles don't just prepare teams for extraordinary moments. They sustain them through the challenges of daily life. Everyday deposits lead to extraordinary dividends. So consider the deposits you're making in your relationships, teams, and communities. Are you taking time to ensure others feel seen and valued? The kindness of a quick thank you, the acknowledgement of a colleague's hard work, or the thoughtful encouragement of a friend. These actions create the trust and connection that allow teams to thrive. Just as Sully relied on decades of preparation, leaders who cultivate a culture of mattering ensure that when the moment comes, they and their teams have the resilience, confidence, and clarity to succeed. The Miracle on the Hudson didn't just show us what happens in a crisis. It shows us what happens when a culture of mattering meets its moment. Trust wasn't improvised. Recognition wasn't an afterthought, and shared purpose wasn't a lucky coincidence. These principles, built and sustained through deliberate leadership, are the true legacy of Flight 1549. They challenge us to reflect on our own leadership. Are we creating environments where trust flourishes? Are we recognizing the contributions of those around us in the ways that matter? And are we consistently reinforcing purpose to align and inspire our teams? Sully's reflection challenges us to think about the deposits we're making in our own leadership bank. Are we preparing ourselves and our teams for the moments that matter most? Leadership, like gardening, is a daily practice. It requires small, consistent efforts to nurture trust, recognize contributions, and reinforce purpose. These actions may feel insignificant in the moment, but over time, they build the foundation for extraordinary outcomes. So, as you move throughout your day, who needs to know you trust them? Whose efforts deserve recognition? And how can you remind your team of the larger purpose behind their work? Because when the moment comes, whether it's a crisis, a challenge, or an opportunity, you'll find that the culture you've cultivated will rise to meet it. What small deposit will you make today? And that's a wrap for today's episode. I hope my exploration of the Miracle on the Hudson and the power of creating a culture of mattering has inspired you to reflect on your leadership and how you empower others to feel valued. Extraordinary outcomes don't just happen by chance. They're built on trust, recognition, and purpose, starting with you. If today's episode resonated with you, I'd love for you to leave a 5-star rating and review. Your support helps others discover the show and join us on this journey of intentional living and impactful leadership. Do you know a leader or someone else in your life who could benefit from these insights? Share this episode with them. Together, we can amplify the ripple effects of these lessons and create meaningful change in our workplaces, communities, and lives. If you're ready to bring these ideas to life within your team or organization, I'd love to work with you. Through keynote speeches, workshops, and events, I help leaders ignite purpose, foster resilience, and cultivate cultures of mattering. Visit johnrmiles.com/speaking to learn how we can partner for your next event. And if you haven't taken our Passion Struck quiz yet, it's designed to help you uncover your unique drivers of purpose and passion. Whether you're navigating a new season or seeking clarity in your goals, this quiz will help provide insights. You can find it at passionstruck.com. And as always, for links, resources, and takeaways from today's episode, as well as a guide where you can explore how to implement a culture of mattering into your organization, head over to the show notes at passionstruck.com. You can also watch the video version of this episode on our YouTube channel. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. Before we go, here's a sneak peek at next week's episode. I'll be joined by Dan Heath, the acclaimed author of Switch and Upstream. We'll be diving into his latest book, Reset, which explores how we can rethink and redesign systems to solve complex challenges. It's a powerful conversation packed with actionable insights. You won't want to miss it.
We're looking at the employees who gave a 1 or 2 or 3 out of 10 because they're very disengaged. They may be in danger of leaving. And so we've got a fire. We've got to put out the fire. It's an emergency. And what we don't do a lot of times instinctively is say, well, hang on a second. Yes, it's important to pay attention to problems, but do we understand why the 9s and 10s, the employees who are super duper happy at the far other end of the curve, do we understand why they're happy?
Thank you for spending your time with me today. Your commitment to growing, learning, and leading with intention inspires me every single day. Remember, the smallest acts of recognition, trust, and purpose can transform lives, including your own. Until next time, keep striving to make every moment matter. And as always, live life passion-struck.